Will the young people come and join me this morning? We have so many this morning. It's so good to see you guys. Did you have a wonderful New Year's celebration? How many made it to midnight? You made it past midnight. Oh my goodness. Well, it's so good to see. You know, people make New Year's resolutions at New Year's, and they kind of look at January 1st as a time for us to kind of start over. And that's a really good way to look at January 1st, because it is. I remember I was talking to Richard and Mary the other day. They stopped in. Mary just got absolutely mortified. I said, I'm sorry, Mary, you should have checked this out with you ahead of time, but it just seems to fit, you know? You know, Richard and Mary's anniversary of their 50th year was December 31st. And Richard and Mary came in, and we were talking about the first year, and Richard says to me, he's like, yep, time to do it all over again, he said. And, you know, that just really, it really struck me somehow, you know, just time, here we go again, you know. And we do kind of get a do-over this kind of year, but what I'd like to talk to you about is that with Jesus, there is always a do-over. No matter what time of year it is, no matter where you find yourself in life, no matter what is going on, the day you turn to Jesus, there is always a do-over. So, I want you to remember this, because you guys are very young, but when you get older, and if you find yourself in a pickle, if you find yourself in a mess, I want you to turn to Jesus, because he will always give you a do-over. Okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you that we are not stuck in our sins, and that we are not stuck in even the messes that we make. That with you there is always a do-over. We pray that we would always remember that and look to you in all things. We pray in the name of that baby in Bethlehem. Amen. Now there is no junior church today, but there are leftover Christmas bears. Okay? So grab yourself a bear, grab yourself a goodie. Don't make too much of a mess because Mr. Knott will yell at me. But he's got a new vacuum, so it works okay. You know, at the Watch Night service, it was awesome, by the way, for those of you who missed it. Johnny Heim's message was really kind of a part one of this sermon this morning. I just love it when you can see the hand of God in such plain ways, because we did not collaborate. So, you know, you're bearing me up on that, right, John? Okay, so. Now, you know that the kids came home for the holidays, and they left last week. And we, as all of us do, we try to spend as much time with our families together as possible, especially if they come in from long distances. Now, at our house, we even do that to the point of we try to ride together in one car if we can, so that we have a chance to have, you know, to visit and talk undistracted. Now, initially, I have to tell you that Greg got into the back seat of my car, and I said, you know, just throw that cloth bag in the back because it was in his way. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, well, those are my gym clothes. And he said, very sarcastically, do they get much use? Well, now, he knew the answer to that. And I told him that they did, until I messed up my back royally and I couldn't go. And he said, well, when was that? And I said, September. Now, I'm thinking that I should make that my New Year's resolution. And the reason I bring that up is that it is only January 2nd, and already some of us have broken the New Year's resolutions that we only made yesterday. And we said it was going to be different this year. 2011 was going to be the year when we keep those changes that we know that we need to make in our lives. I want to talk to you about doing it a little bit differently this year. That instead of putting things down on paper that we try to hold on to, and maybe 5 or 6 days or 1 week or 3 weeks into the new year become history for all of us, I want to talk to you about doing something a little bit different this year. I want us to consider, instead of doing our New Year's resolutions business as usual, I would like to just throw out there for you to consider basing our New Year's resolutions on Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And now let me explain how this works. When you and I discover our need for God, and when we discover that He loves us, and that He made a way for us to have a new life in Christ, we open up our hearts, we open up our lives, we confess our sins, and we're honest with God, and we invite Jesus to come into our lives to be our Savior, and I also hope that at the same time we make the decision to make Him Lord, the Master of our lives, we are literally giving control of our lives over to Him. Now, when that takes place, when that whole relationship is established, then what God does is He gives us His Holy Spirit. So God, in a very real and tangible way, puts His Holy Spirit inside of us. And that Holy Spirit, according to Paul, begins to do a work in our lives, so much so that it changes who we are for the better. As we begin to give more and more control of our lives to the Holy Spirit, He begins to produce certain fruit in our lives. So let's take a look at Galatians 5, starting, I don't know, around 16 or something. I can't remember what the gospel video. But let's take a look at what it says. Us to grow and to be more in Christ. Now, I want to suggest some 2000, some 2011, I want to suggest some resolutions to you. These are going to be, hopefully, our New Year's resolutions for 2011. In fact, it's the second, but really consider this the first. We're starting over today. Okay, so if you blew yesterday, if you've blown this morning, it doesn't matter. That's all under the blood. Today, okay, is starting right now. 2011 is starting right now. Now, hopefully, we're going to make this list based on Galatians 5. So our number one love resolution in 2011 is this. I will not let 1 week go by without doing something to show those who are closest to me just how much I love them. That's a pretty good number one, isn't it? Number one New Year's resolution. That might work, wouldn't it? You know, if at least once a year I would do something tangible to let the people who are closest to me know that I love them. Now, when I go to McDonald's, and you have to stay with me. Now, when I go to McDonald's and I give my order, they always ask me if I want to supersize it. Now, I am pretty confident that that is not a good idea at McDonald's, although I do it all the time. But anyway, supersizing something certainly is pleasing to God. It might not be a good thing for us to do at McDonald's, but it is a pleasing thing for us to do to God. So here's another suggestion. If you want to supersize your love resolution, how about this? Or in the words of Jesus in Sermon on the Mount, if you want to go the second mile, how about this? In 2011, at least once a month, I will seek out someone that needs to be loved and intentionally serve them in the name of Christ. In such a way that when I am done, they will know that not only I love them, but God loves them too. That's a pretty good love resolution. Now, you know as well as I, those people are not hard to find. If you find someone who feels unloved, maybe even thinks that they're unlovable, do what you can to invade their lives in the name of Christ and become their friend. They are all around you. Okay, now what about joy? You know, Christian joy from Paul's perspective is a deep happiness that comes from knowing Jesus. Christian joy from Paul's perspective is different than ordinary happiness. You see, ordinary happiness happens to everybody occasionally. You know, even the most depressed person is happy every now and again, but it is temporary because it is tied to what is going on around the person. So regular happiness is just tied to what's going on in your life. You know, you're having a good day, you're having a bad day, okay, it determines. But that is different. Christian joy goes beyond our circumstances. It has nothing to do with what is going on in the physical in our lives. It is much deeper than that. In fact, you know that most of the time when Paul was talking about joy, he was writing from prison. Or he was in the middle of some tremendous persecution. Okay, so what about a joy resolution? How about this? In 2011, I'm going to spend some time every day celebrating my joy in Christ, no matter what is happening around me. Okay, that's a good one. Whatever is going on in my life, I'm going to find a little bit of time every day to celebrate the joy that I have in Jesus. Now, if you want to take it to the next level, what about in 2011, I'm going to share the joy of Christ with at least two other people so that they can know what I'm experiencing. Now, I picked two for a reason, because I know some of you, and some of you feel like you're going to faint when you are called to talk about your faith to anyone. Okay, so I'm figuring I'll just pick two, because that's not too hard in a whole year. It gives you a whole year to do that with two people. You can share your faith with as many people as you want, but let's commit to just two. Okay, so we've got love, joy, peace. Now think of peace as the security that comes from knowing that you are right with God and that you are right with the people around you. Think of peace like your life is a puzzle and everything fits together. A life that is whole is a life that is at peace. Now Paul talks about the peace that passes understanding. And he talks about it as something that is active, something that can guard our hearts, something that can guard our lives in Christ Jesus. Maybe you need a peace resolution
on your list. How about this one? In 2011, I'm going to actively seek peace with that one person who has given me fits. And don't tell me you don't know who that is. Now, if you want to supersize it, how about this? In 2010, I'm going to forgive that person who hurt me. The one that has been the source of hurt and anger for a very long time. And not only am I going to forgive them, I'm going to tell them they're forgiven. I know that's scary. And it is impossible to do without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit goes with us, we have the strength to do what is humanly impossible to do. So love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is the ability to put up with other people when it is just not the easy thing to do. Do you know anyone that is hard to get along with? Don't call out names. Okay, I know that was what you were going to do. But just think for a moment how patient God is with us. That's what the Spirit is trying to do in us. He wants us to be as patient with other people as God is with us. Whoa. Okay, so how does this work for a patience resolution? Are you ready? In 2011, I'm going to work hard at being more patient with blank, and you fill in the blank. My wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my in-laws. And along with that, I'm going to pray daily that the Holy Spirit will help me control my anger that I tend to lose with those people who love me the most. Okay, now that's pretty next level as it is. But if you want to add to it, how about this? I live in a place where life is out of control. I'm always rushing here and there, and people get in my way. And in one way or another, I push them. But starting today, I'm going to do a weekly check to make sure to slow my life down. And I'm going to work hard at being more patient with people I meet every day, especially the ones who get in my way and who get on my nerves. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is going to help us with these? So, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Now, kindness is cut from the same mold as patience. It comes from a deep caring for other people. It just shows because you care. Here's a 2011 kindness resolution. In 2011, I'm going to commit to consistently do some kind acts for people I meet, with my goal being to show the same attitudes towards them as Christ showed to the people he touched. In other words, I'm going to do this to not bring attention to myself. If you want to supersize it, just go deeper. Just do better acts of kindness. Just spend more time and more energy on doing those acts of kindness. Okay, so we've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Think of goodness as helpfulness. Some people, some translations even use generosity, kind of putting your feet to kindness, putting in action your desire to do good for other people. So how about this resolution? In 2011, I'm going to get involved with my time and money in helping others who are hurting during this economic downturn. Okay, we all know the economy's a mess. Okay, this really hits home. We all know people that have been affected big time by the economy. They've been laid off. They're in dire straits. There's just lots of stuff going on. But as a believer, I resolve to be sensitive to that. And I'm going to help as much as I can. But if you want to supersize it, how about this? In 2011, get ready. I will intentionally not buy something I was going to buy so that I can help someone else. I will not do something for myself that I had planned to do so that I can do something for someone else. Okay. Okay, so we've got love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. This is a very important one. The faithful person is reliable and trustworthy. We can expect a faithful person to do what it is they said they are going to do. We can expect a faithful person to finish what they start. We can expect a faithful person to show up. How about this for a faithfulness resolution? In 2011, I will show up for my family. For instance, instead of just saying that I'm going to show up like for a game or for a recital, I will actually show up. And I will make what is going on in my family's life a priority over what I want to do. Okay? And now if you want to take it to a next level, here's a suggestion. In 2011, I will keep the promises that I have made to God. You know the ones you pushed on the back burner? You know the ones, maybe it was a long time ago, maybe it was yesterday, you were in a pickle and you said, God, if you only will do this, I will do this. But you never followed through? How about this? In 2011, I will show up for my family, and I will keep the promises that I made to God, and I will do what I said I would do. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Now, some translations say gentleness, but I think there was meekness up here. It's a different translation. Meekness is a word used in the first century for the process of breaking a horse. The taming of a wild animal. It was a term, actually, that they often applied to Jesus because it was great strength that is under control. Great strength that is under authority. Okay, so it is basically a teachable spirit. It's the opposite of arrogance. How about a meekness resolution for 2011? I'm going to stop pretending that I have it all together. And instead, I am going to ask for help when I need it. And I'm going to ask God to teach me humility. Some of us are just so proud. And although we have help all around us, you know what? We just will not let people help us. So let's resolve in 2011 to quit pretending, because none of us have it all together. And we resolve to be honest. And to let those people who love us, those people who are around us, to help us when we need it. And even more than that, we are going to let God work in our lives to teach us humility. Now, if you want to supersize it, how about this? I resolve in 2011 to do my best to spend time in God's Word every day so that He can teach me humility. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and finally self-control. This is my favorite. You know, discipline is not one of our favorite subjects in life. It just isn't. But you and I need to be able to bring things under control. The root of the word is strength. It is the strength to bring our emotions and our behavior under control. Everyone wrestles with the issue of discipline. You know, we might be able to say, and certainly those of us in this church, we could say, well, I don't do that, you know, and I don't do that, you know. But you know what? We don't have to look too far to see something that we struggle with. You know, it might not be the biggies, but we all struggle with something. What the Spirit is trying to do in us is to keep those things that have the potential for good but also have the potential for bad under control. You know, people ought to be able to look at our lives as Christians and not see somebody who's out of control. The Holy Spirit helps us live controlled lives. Now, to supersize this one, this might mean that we need to allow and invite the Spirit of God to deliver us from a full-blown addiction. And that's some of our trouble, too. Now, if we look at these things like they have two pillars, Paul starts with love. He's saying if we don't get the love part right, we are not going to get the rest right. Just like in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, Paul says we can do some awesome things, but if we don't have love, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Well, that's my translation, but you get it, right? Love is the foundation. Loving God, loving each other, understanding what it means to love ourselves. So Paul begins with love. And then on the other hand, he ends up with this other pillar that frames the whole thing. It's self-control. Now, when I go back and I read what Paul writes in all of his letters, I'm convinced that he is not talking so much about self-control as he is talking about Holy Spirit control. And that makes all the difference in the world. You know, we can do our regular lists. And some of us will be successful to make enough of an effort to personally make it through. That has never been me, but some of you might be able to. But what I'm suggesting is that most of us have such big needs. And we have so much to be accomplished that we need the Holy Spirit to make it through. Or we are going to fail again this year. And that makes all the difference. Okay, we have a new list. And hopefully, if something piqued your interest, you wrote something down. But my list may not be your list. God might have put some other things on your heart as I was talking, or your mind. So I just want to say this morning, happy spirit-controlled new year. Okay, that's what I want to say to you this morning. But I thought we ought to end this way, because there isn't anything on our list that is going to be easy. Even with the Holy Spirit's help, it is not going to be easy. Because it is in our human nature to try to resist even the Spirit of God. Now you pray for me, and I will continue to pray for you, that this will be a Holy Spirit-controlled New Year. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, I pray that you'll help me live up to the things that I've committed to do. I know I can't do these things unless your Spirit works in me. So Father God, I am asking for your presence in a powerful way. And forgive me for those areas where I have already tried to resist. I pray that you'd help me every day, because it is a difficult journey. But Father, more importantly today, I pray for my friends. Because they, too, are going to be going through difficult, difficult times. So help them all, Father. It is so hard to form new habits. It's hard to break old habits. We have to rethink how we live our lives, and we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto others. And we pray that you would do that for us. Some of us have a lot of work to do. So I'm asking that you would help us. We ask this morning that you would give us the grace to give the Holy Spirit control of each one of our lives. And we will praise you, Father God. Because we know that we can't do any of this stuff without your Spirit. And we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the promise that you gave us that you will be with us. And that your Spirit will produce this fruit in our lives if we only let him. Help us in 2011 to let him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prepare your hearts for the benediction. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Amen.